Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, and what it's really focuses in on, especially among our Pentecostal churches, especially the Assemblies of God, we definitely zero in on the Holy Spirit on a day like Pentecost Sunday. And so our lesson is all about the Holy Spirit today. It is Pentecost Sunday. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, that He is moving, that He is active and faithfully moving within the church today. Amen? He is the one that makes Jesus real in our midst. And so we thank God for all that He's going to do and for His faithfulness within our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. I'd like for you to get your Bibles and turn to the book of John. John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And there will be no way to talk about the Holy Spirit without talking about John chapters 14 through 16, and also Acts chapter 2, the book of John, chapter 14. And as you're turning there, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do ask that you would be with us here this morning. We thank you that today is Pentecost Sunday, that it's the day in which we acknowledge the person of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we are powerless. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't even live the Christian life in the way that we're supposed to. And so we thank you now, Holy Spirit, for your enabling power. We ask that you would be with us here this morning. And we pray that most of all that you would make Jesus very real in our hearts, our lives this day. We thank you for all that you will do today. Bless our study this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Pentecost Sunday. Pentecostalism and the day of Pentecost obviously comes from the day of Pentecost. When we read in our Bibles, especially in Acts chapter 2, we read about Pentecost as the day in which the Holy Spirit came and baptized over 120 believers at once, where they were speaking with other tongues, glorifying God and manifesting the person and power of Jesus through their lives. The day of Pentecost is an interesting day. It also is a day that brings out the feasts. There were many different feasts that the Jews celebrated. There was the Feast of Passover, and you all remember Passover as the day in which the angel passed over the Israelites when they came out of Egyptian bondage. You all remember that, right? They were in Egyptian bondage for about 430 years. And after all of those years of bondage, God raised up Moses to be the deliverer. Moses would be used by the hand of God to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. They would eventually be released after the final plague, which was the plague of the Passover. There was an angel of death that would put to death all of the firstborn children of every Egyptian family, and even the animal, the cows, the sheep, and what have you. The firstborn would die, except for those that had the blood on the doorposts. You all remember that. And if they would put the blood on the mantle and on the doorposts of their houses, the Bible said that the angel of death would pass over them. And so God instituted that very day the Feast of Passover to be celebrated for the generations to come. It's interesting that it's actually on the day of Passover that Jesus hung and died on the cross. It's on that same day that the blood of Jesus would be shed, and all that put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, death will pass over you. 50 days after the Passover, so picture in your minds them coming out of Egyptian bondage. They are released by Pharaoh, who had hardened his heart so hard that it took 10 plagues to release the children of Israel. He finally let them go after the Passover night. They eventually cross the Red Sea and make it to Mount Sinai, the holy mountain of God. And there Moses would go into that mountain and receive the law of God on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was the celebration of the Jews of the giving of the law. And so the day of Pentecost is what they would remember the Ten Commandments and the law of God given to the children of Israel, but the feast that was instituted to celebrate Pentecost was known as the Feast of the Harvest. It would be the feast in which they would celebrate the harvest time, the ingathering of the harvest. Amen? And it's appropriate to consider Pentecost as the Feast of Harvest because it would be on the day of Pentecost when they receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit that Peter would get up on that Pentecostal day and preach a sermon and 3,000 people would get saved. And as we had been studying the New Covenant and understanding the New Covenant, you'll remember the contrast between the Old and the New. On the day of Pentecost, under the Old Covenant, 3,000 people died. Whereas under the New Covenant, on that great Pentecostal day, the very first Pentecostal Sunday, Peter preached that Pentecostal sermon and 3,000 people got saved, and the Bible says that the Lord added to that church daily. And so today we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday, and we in the Assemblies of God are Pentecostal. Amen. We believe in the Holy Spirit and we believe in His power that He is still moving through the church today. And we need the Holy Spirit. We all need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, because of the cross of Calvary, would be given not just to those that were leaders, not to those that are just the leaders in denominations or the leaders in our churches, but the Holy Spirit would be given to all believers through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He has made us the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. And so this lesson today is about why the Holy Spirit came. Why the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit has come. We don't need to wait for a rushing mighty wind anymore like they did on that Pentecost Sunday many, many years ago. Do you all hear what I'm saying? He's here. He is here to baptize and to fill every believer. Amen? Now, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within your heart. When you received Jesus Christ as Savior, He came to dwell within. He's already in your heart. But there is a second work of grace, the mighty empowerment of the Holy Spirit, where you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as well. Why the Holy Spirit came? The central truth today is this. The Holy Spirit enables us to live for Christ and make the gospel known to the world. How many of you want to be a greater witness for Jesus in the world out there? Then we need the Holy Spirit. You see, you can do a lot for God in your own strength. I mean, let me rephrase that. You can do things for the work of God in your own strength, but it's only going to be limited. You're only going to get some of the work done. But if you want to accomplish much for the Lord, if you want to get a lot done for the Lord, it's going to be done through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables you and me to have a greater effect in the world. When I was at the Bible school, I would teach on the Holy Spirit and I would help them to understand this by drawing a picture for them on a dry erase board. And so I want you to picture it in your mind that there's a dry erase board right here, and I want you to picture it in your mind, okay? What I would do is I would draw a man and he would have a shovel in his hand and he would be digging in the ground. And as he would be working to do that shovel in the ground, you can see he's digging a hole and there's a pile of earth beside where he is digging a hole in the ground. Amen? And he's working hard and he's doing work. The ground is called the work of God. He's there with shovel in hand and he's digging a hole. And he has a little pile of earth there. And he's working hard. There's sweat on his brow. You all hear what I'm saying? And then I would begin to draw in the background a big old caterpillar kind of tractor in the back with a big old shovel in the front. And that shovel is getting up the earth, and there's a big old mountain of the work of God getting done. And on that big old shovel, that big old cat, that big old tractor with that big old shovel at the end, it's entitled the Holy Spirit. You see, we can do and get some work accomplished, but if you want to have a greater effect in your life, your ministry, you need the Holy Spirit. You will never be able to get as much work done without Him. He takes your words and He empowers them. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you and I realize how weak we are, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to live for Christ and make the gospel known to the world. He helps us to live for Jesus. He's the one that will begin to speak to us, to wake up, to pray. He'll speak to our hearts to read the Word and to study. Amen? He will be the one that will tell us, you're spending too much time doing this or that. Spend some more time with me. He's the one that will get a hold of our young people and say, you got to turn the Xbox off. Amen? You got to get off the internet for a while. Turn off the TV. That's the Holy Ghost that will begin to convict and speak to the heart of the individual as He separates them unto Himself. He helps us to live for Christ and make the gospel known. And it's a wonderful thing how the Holy Spirit, listen to this, it's very important. The Holy Spirit will draw you to Jesus. Amen. The more of the Holy Spirit, the more that you know Him, the more you will know Jesus. If you want to know Jesus more and you want to be more intimate with Jesus, pray for more of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our key verse today is John chapter 15 and verse 26. Does somebody want to read that verse from off the slide up here, or if you have it in your Bible? John 15, verse 26.
When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
Let me ask you, just from that verse, who's the Holy Spirit going to talk about? Who is He going to talk to you about? About Jesus, exactly. He is going to make Jesus known to you. Amen? You know, when you first got saved and you began to read your Bible and you just are falling more and more in love with Jesus, you know who's putting that love and drawing you to Jesus? It's the Holy Spirit. When you're reading your Bible and all of a sudden those words are opening up to you and it's like speaking to you, it's like, wow, I love the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit opening up the Word to you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is living. He is active in all of our lives. And we need to pray, God, help me to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are Pentecostal in the Assemblies of God. We are a Pentecostal denomination. We're classic Pentecostals. We believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the initial physical evidence of the baptism. We believe that there is an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing that in the past 100 years, the greatest force within Christianity today is the Pentecostal church. The statistics are telling us even now there are so many Pentecostals that the Pentecostal church itself makes up over a quarter of all of Christianity today. Brother Henry Chavez is here with us today. He's been a missionary in Ecuador, Peru. And I'm sure that you've seen firsthand accounts, Brother Henry, of how the Holy Spirit has moved through Central and South America within our Spanish Pentecostal churches. One of the greatest moves of God recorded in history has happened there in Central and South America. As Pentecostals have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they've been fired up and passionate for Jesus. A zeal for God comes within an individual through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to put within the hearts of believers a desire to win the lost, to evangelize. And the Pentecostal church has been one of the ones that has been more effective and more influential than even most evangelical churches have to admit to that truth. It is sad when you have some of those within the church ranks begin to ridicule and demean Pentecostalism. But those that do really don't know the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you have those that write books like Strange Fire and they come against the move of the Holy Spirit in these modern days, they don't know the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to be honest with you. Amen. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He is the one that will make your relationship with Jesus more vibrant, more powerful, more beautiful. And so I earnestly ask that you seek for God and the fullness of God. Ask for more of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Why the Holy Spirit came? Why did He come? Well, as I mentioned before, as we look at Pentecostalism today, we must understand that the Pentecostal move of God is very active in the world today. The Assemblies of God is the largest Pentecostal denomination today. Amen. Thank God for that. But we need to be, as a Pentecostal denomination, more focused on the Holy Spirit today than ever. Thank God for our schools. Thank God for education. Thank God for our degrees. Amen. I have a degree in education as well. I mean, in Christianity and theology, what have you. I got one too. But our dependence is not to be upon our education. We need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Who will help us in our education. But we can't lean upon our own understanding or man's understanding about things. Thank God for it. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not criticizing it. That's why we need good Christian Bible colleges and universities to help to educate our young people about the things of God and about theology and doctrine. We need to have a good foundation in Christ. But in all of that, we can't forget our need for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so we thank God for that and for the move of the Holy Spirit. And so let me ask you a question. What makes the church Pentecostal? What makes the church Pentecostal?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, exactly. Classic Pentecostals are those that believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that they are still operating in the church today. Amen? Classic Pentecostals, we believe that miracles are still happening. Amen? That God still moves through the gifts of tongues and interpretation, through prophecy, through miracles, through healing. Amen? All the gifts of the Spirit. Faith. Amen?
Amen.
But we also believe that the Holy Spirit didn't stay back with the apostles. There's a word that's called cessationists. Cessationists are those that believe that the gifts of the Spirit and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit in the realm of the gifts and tongues and interpretation miracles ceased with the apostles. That's a cessationist. But we are not cessationists in the Assemblies of God. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are still possible today. Amen? And many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Many of you operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? And God is still wanting to do more in and through you. And so as we go through our lesson today, we must understand why He came. Now, we must understand that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. So let's get into our lesson today. He came at Pentecost. Now remember, that is the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of the Harvest. And it was 50 days after the Passover. So remember, in the Scripture, Jesus died on the Passover, right? 3 days later, He resurrected from the dead. And the Scripture says that He was there with the apostles for 40 days, seen of men and women. Towards the end, even 500 people saw Jesus at once. We know that from the Scripture. After Jesus ascended into heaven in a cloud, they all looked at Him and watched Him go into heaven. He said in the same way, then those angels said in the same way, He's leaving, He's coming back. Amen? 10 days later, now remember, he was here on the earth for 40 days, ascended into heaven. 10 days later, Jesus, before he left, said, "Tarry, stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Don't go anywhere. Don't try to witness to anyone. Don't try to do anything until you are empowered with the Holy Spirit." And so they went into Jerusalem, probably in that same upper room. We really don't know the exact location, but they were somewhere there praying and seeking the face of God. And in that upper room, as they were praying together on that 10th day, 50 days after the Passover, on the day of Pentecost, all of a sudden, that's the moving of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't wait for us. They were there praying, and just as they're seeking the face of God, all of a sudden, the scripture says, all of a sudden, the sound of a rushing mighty wind was blowing in through that place. And as they were seeking the face of God, I'm sure some of them opened their eyes as they looked around at that group of 120 believers. Mary and her children were there. Mary, Jesus' mother, and his half-brothers and sisters were there in that group. Some of them probably opened their eyes, and all of a sudden they saw upon the head of each and every one of those gathered together a flame of fire that looked like a tongue. And they were all speaking in other languages that they had never learned. They're speaking in other tongues, and all of a sudden God has come upon them. And classic Pentecostalism, I'm sure that some were shaking, some were down on the ground, some were even rolling on the ground like those old classical, old-fashioned holy rollers. Amen? Some of them were laughing, some of them were crying, some of them were jumping. That's Pentecostalism. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit. Some people get ashamed of the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit moves in power, you have those things happen. Amen. And they're speaking in other tongues. I'm sure that they're sensing the power of God and they're rejoicing. Praise the Lord. So the people are looking at these people. I'm sure they came out of the room. They're out there just excited. And people said, "What's wrong with these people? Look at these weirdos. They must be drunk. They must have had some really good wine." Or something else, right? And all of a sudden they began to say, as Peter stood up and said, "We're not drunk as you suppose. It's only the early morning hour. It's not that late. But what you see here is what was prophesied by Joel the prophet." Amen. "And he poured out his Holy Spirit. Both men and women were speaking in other tongues." It didn't just go to the men. Praise the Lord. If there were children in the midst, they were speaking in other tongues too. God baptizes little kids too. I think of David Wilkerson. He was in an old-fashioned camp meeting with the old sawdust on the ground. Preacher laid hands on him. He wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was slain in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues at 8 years old. Amen? Praise the Lord. You all have heard the testimony of Jimmy Swaggart. Same thing. 8 years of age, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Couldn't stop speaking in tongues for a few days. Praise the Lord. My aunt, she was seeking the face of God, wanted to be baptized, ended up waking up in the middle of the night after dreaming of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, woke up in the middle of the night speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. It's real. The writer of the song, "It's Real," was baptized in the Holy Spirit. They heard about the move of God in Baltimore, Maryland. Amen. And they said, "God's baptizing people over there on the other side of the tracks in a good old-fashioned African-American church." And these two white individuals, he and his mother, said, "Let's go, we want the Holy Ghost." And they went across the tracks. They crossed the segregation lines, went to this African-American church. And they said, "Sir, can we tarry in your altar? We've heard that people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit here. We want the baptism." They said, "Sure," and they began to pray and seek the face of God there at the altar. Amen? And they began to seek and sought and sought and sacked. Seeked. That's not even a real word, but either way, it's still they did it. Amen? And as they were there praying for the Holy Spirit to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, it was getting late. And so the minister finally came and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt what you're seeking after God, but the last train is about to leave, the last bus out of town. I just want to let you know that." And so they got up a little bit flustered, frustrated, because they had been seeking for the baptism for a little while. And so he and his mother got up, and they were looking at the bus coming to pick them up, and all of a sudden they sensed the person, the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden that young man, he says, "You know what, mother, you can go ahead and get on the bus. I feel the Holy Spirit." And he began to speak with other tongues right there. And the mother said, "Don't worry, I feel it too." And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And instead of getting on the bus, they walked home speaking in tongues. It's real. We're Pentecostals. We don't talk about it enough. But you can have an experience with God. And He makes Jesus very real. And as you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can speak in other tongues, pray in other tongues, and you can get more and more into the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit today. He'll put within you a fire, a zeal for God that just can't be quenched. Praise the Lord. A promise was given in chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. And let's look at these verses really quick. It says this. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And I'm reading from the Modern English Version. "If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter." Some versions read counselor. Another version reads advocate.
Helper.
"I will give you another counselor, comforter, helper, advocate, that he may be with you forever." I wish to say forever. The Holy Spirit doesn't abandon ship when the time gets rough. You know, if you've been going in your walk with the Lord and you trip up and end up making a mistake, or you ended up doing something wrong like sin, the Holy Spirit doesn't just abandon you there. He's going to be with you forever. He wants to help you through this. He doesn't kick you when you're down. Amen? He says he will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it does not see him, neither does it know him. But you, I want you to say me. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you fatherless. I will come to you. When it says fatherless there, the word in the Greek means I will not leave you orphaned. I'm not going to leave you alone. And Jesus is saying something important here. Jesus isn't going to leave you all by yourself to live this life and walk this life without help. The Holy Spirit, that word comforter is from the Greek parakletos, which means someone called alongside to help. Not discourage. Not someone that's going to come to destroy. Someone that wants to help you. Oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's times when we need help. Sometimes we're weak and we need strength. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But He will there be not only there to help you, but Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. He lives with you. He will be in you. I will come to you," Jesus said. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Didn't He say that? And yet the Scripture says the Spirit of truth is going to be in you. Another way that the Holy Spirit is described, not only is He the Holy Spirit, but He's also the Spirit of truth. Or the Spirit of Christ, He's also called. And He will be in you. Now that verse is not applicable for you the same way it was for them. What do you mean, Pastor James? Up until this point, Jesus was telling them about the baptism in the Holy Spirit that was to come. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only came upon precious few individuals, kings, certain priests or prophets, but the Holy Spirit only came upon them. Listen to what I'm telling you. He would enable them to prophesy. He would enable them to minister in power. You remember the judges in the book of Judges? The Holy Spirit would come upon Samson. He'd get a jawbone and kill a bunch of people. Amen. He would empower them. One time when Moses was there in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit was so strong, Joshua stayed over there in the tabernacle. Y'all remember that? One time there was someone prophesying and they said, "Moses, someone's over here prophesying in the spirit." And Moses said, "I wish all of you would be like that." But not everyone could be. But when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, you see, he hadn't died on the cross yet. The Holy Spirit wasn't dwelling in anyone except for Christ, who the Holy Spirit was upon without measure. But through the cross of Calvary and through the means of the cross, to be honest with you, under the new covenant, as we've been going through in our sermon series, God would make us righteous by faith in the shed blood of Christ alone. And the righteousness of Christ would become ours, so that God would look upon us as righteous in the sight of God, and the Holy Spirit would come to dwell within your and my heart forever. But before Pentecost, before the cross, the Holy Spirit was external. But now, I don't know if you even have ever thought of how powerful the reality of the cross is in your and my life. The Holy Spirit dwells within you and me. Do you realize how righteous you are? Do you realize how God sees you? You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have been robed with His righteousness, and now the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Jesus said He's with you, but He's going to be in you. And under the new covenant, through the preaching of the cross, the reality of the gospel, the Holy Spirit now dwells within man, within His church. Amen. Praise the Lord. A promise was given. Look, He's with you. He's going to be in you. And what's amazing is when it says that He will give them another comforter, it was actually talking about someone that is called along to help. But the word "another" even means someone that is just like the other. In other words, the Holy Spirit would be just like Jesus. Amen? But there was a difference with Jesus. Jesus could only be in one place at one time. Those disciples and the apostles, as they walked around with Jesus, they could only be where Jesus was, but Jesus couldn't be over there in Samaria while the disciples were over there in Galilee. He couldn't be with them. Amen? He was limited because of His humanity. I'm not talking about His divinity. His humanity limited Him. Amen? But the Holy Spirit is without limits. The Holy Spirit is here with us right now. Later on, when we start driving our separate ways, He's with Pat and Steph on their way to Capulene, and He's with Sister Maxine and Brother Nico on their way home. He's not limited. So we can have Him wherever we are. Praise the Lord. He's with you when you're at work. He's with you when you're surfing the internet. He's with you wherever you are. Praise the Lord. But a promise was given that the Holy Spirit was going to come. He would dwell within them. He would be with them forever. And the Spirit of truth would lead them to Jesus. Now turn to Acts chapter 2 as we see the promise fulfilled. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And we Pentecostals know these verses very well. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You probably even haven't memorized, but let me read them real quick. It says this: "And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound of a mighty rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues as of fire being distributed and resting on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. They were there on that Pentecostal day, and just out of nowhere the Holy Ghost came, fulfilling the promise. Amen? Jesus said, don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Have you ever thought? You ever put yourself in the shoes of the apostles before Pentecost and begin to think, what is Jesus talking about? What does he mean, endued with power from on high? What's he talking about? Have you ever thought that way? So they're just praying. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know how it's going to happen because this is unique to the church. It didn't happen in the Old Testament. But they're just there obeying the Lord. They're there in Jerusalem. They're tarrying. They're praying. And all of a sudden, the sound of a mighty rushing wind begins to blow in that house and fills the whole house. And I'm sure in the spirit and even in the natural, they sense the power of God in a very unique and powerful way. And all of a sudden, there they are, these tongues like as a fire is resting on each of them. And what's amazing is they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, what's interesting is this, and this is why it's so important when we talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit came upon them, but they spoke as the Spirit enabled them. That's why when you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, if you keep your mouth shut, it's not going to happen. I remember at the Bible school, I was praying for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We preached on the Holy Ghost. And there was a whole line of young people that wanted the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I still remember, I explained it to them. Look, if you keep your mouth closed, you are not going to receive anything. You've got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. They spoke as He gave them the utterance. They spoke as He enabled them. Amen. And so I remember this young man, I went to go pray for him, I laid my hands on him, and all of a sudden, bam, he started shooting off those tongues real good and loud. Amen? And I was like, praise the Lord, right? But then there were others who are just, you know? And I'm like, you have to open your mouth, you have to worship. He's going to give you the words, but you will speak it. Some people are afraid that they're going to be overcome and act the fool. That's not going to happen. Now, for some, it just... the sensation of the Holy Ghost is just so good that they may jiggle a little bit. Amen? For some, they may be slain in the Spirit. But you don't got to be afraid for those things. I remember David Wilkerson preached a message, and he says, we need to learn to lose our decorum. Don't be afraid of how it's going to appear. Just whatever, just be open to whatever God has for you. Some will feel like if you're in heaven. Others won't feel any emotion whatsoever. Amen? There was a young man that was seeking the baptism for years, and one day he went to the front at the altar to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He had been seeking for years. And there was some missionaries in town, and they prayed for the baptism, and this young man came up to the altar like he had done for many, many altar calls to receive the baptism. And when he got to the altar, he said to himself, well, I'm just going to blurt out what I feel to say in the Spirit, what he felt. So he just blurted out what he felt to say at the moment. He just blurted out what he felt. Do you all hear what I'm saying? So he blurted out some words and it sounded like a tongue. But he didn't feel anything. So he said, that's not true. It's just me. And so he starts to turn away all discouraged. And there's these little missionaries in the church, little lady missionaries. And they're all excited like little Pentecostal ladies would be. They're like, oh, you received the baptism. Oh, and they're all excited. And he's like, no, it wasn't. And they said, no. And they began to talk to this young man. And they said to him, in the area where we've been ministering in their dialect for a long time. And when you blurted out those tongues, you spoke the words of those people that we've been ministering to. You were praising the Lord in their language. He didn't feel a thing. But he spoke what he felt to say by the Spirit. You know, when you first got saved, you're told, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, right? Tell someone you've been saved. But sometimes there's no feelings, is there? But you tell them, I've been saved. It's a statement of faith. So you're not. It's not about emotions. It's not about how you feel. But the baptism is for everyone. Amen. The promise was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And the moving of the Holy Spirit moved so powerfully that they were speaking with other tongues. And this was brand new. This had never happened before. But what's amazing is that as the early church was filled with the Holy Spirit, you will find in the book of Acts, contrary to those that say tongues is not the initial physical evidence, every time they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you find them speaking with other tongues. There was an evidence. Tongues is an evidence both for the onlooker, the ones looking at the one baptized, as well as the one that is baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, it's the initial physical evidence. There is a physical evidence, and it's tongues. How does the believer know they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, they speak with other tongues. Amen. But how does the onlooker know that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, because they spoke with other tongues. Amen. I remember there was a season in the Bible school that I was a part of where there were some people beginning to say that the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a righteous life. And I remember it didn't sit right in my spirit, and I began to wonder, what are they saying? No, they're wrong. The evidence of your salvation is a righteous life. Amen? The fact that you have been born again, washed in the blood, is going to bring your life into a way of righteousness. The fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within the heart of the believer is going to cause a person to become more righteous. Now, listen to what I'm saying, though. You're not righteous by how you're becoming righteous. You're righteous already by the blood of Jesus. But He's going to make you righteous as He is sanctifying you. You're sanctified in Christ, and you're being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. But there is a physical evidence, and it is tongues. And that's why the early church, when the first Gentile family got baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was tongues, Cornelius and his house. Amen? There was always an evidence for people to know that they were baptized and that those people had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. The one that is seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes. Yes. Now, not everyone is going to seek the Lord that way. That's why you have people like in Baptist circles, Methodist circles, Lutherans, Episcopalians. You've all followed what I'm saying. We are all saved by grace through faith. We all have that commonality, that unity. That's why the Baptist and the Methodist is just as much a Christian as we are. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean every Methodist is born again. That doesn't mean every Pentecostal is born again. Just because someone is in the pews doesn't make them a Christian. Amen? There are some people that serve on church boards. Some of them are deacons and they've never been born again. Do you all hear what I'm saying? But within all of the denominations is the body of Christ. But not everyone believes or is asking for that distinct work of the Holy Spirit to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. But if you're seeking for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, He will give you that ability to speak in other tongues. And He'll give you the words to speak. Now, some take it further and they say that, well, the only time you can speak in tongues is when you feel the Holy Spirit making you speak in tongues. That's not true. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can pray in tongues in the morning, in the evening, in noontime. Amen? Sometimes you're going to feel powerful. Other times you're not going to feel a thing. But in the Spirit, you're going to be speaking mysteries. You will be speaking with a knowing in the Spirit that you're hitting the bullseye in prayer. Brother Gary?
Pastor, can you differentiate between this baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled, moved, or used by the Holy Spirit? For many have laid their hands on someone and they were healed, mm-hmm. and they haven't ever spoken in tongues before. Mm-hmm. Many might give a word of prophecy. or say a word of knowledge into someone's life, and they haven't received the baptism. So I think that's kind of maybe what Desiree's getting at. I don't know.
Well, what you're speaking of, there are extremities here. There are sometimes exceptions to the rules. Now listen to what I'm saying here. I, as a Pentecostal, believe that the evidence that one has been baptized in the Holy Spirit is tongues. I believe that with all of my heart. I mean, I've wrestled with this. However, there are times that some have ministered in ways that people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, having not been baptized in the Holy Spirit themselves. The president of our school, her name was Catherine Logan. At one time, she says that she was baptized, or she was praying for the Holy Spirit, and she kind of blurted out, like I said before, this other guy did. He kind of blurted it out, and she said, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. So she suppressed the Holy Spirit for years, but she would pray for people to receive the baptism, and they would be speaking with other tongues. God would use her. But then one time, she was overcome with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues, and many different kinds of tongues, too. She had the gift of tongues. Well, Brother James, what are you saying now? Just hang in there with me. The baptism now. Can the gifts of the Spirit operate with those that have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit? It's few and far between. Those that are open to the Holy Spirit are open to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and operate in the gifts of the Spirit in a way that those that have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit are. That's why you'll have some ministers that have been used powerfully, but they've never functioned in the gifts to the fullest capacity because of their lack of the fullness of the Spirit in their lives. However, that doesn't mean someone can be full of the Holy Spirit without being baptized in the Holy Spirit and still be used of God. Remember, God doesn't limit himself to our limitations. If someone needs healing, you can have someone that has never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but he'll respond to that person's faith. Did you hear what I just said? That person may even be living in sin, but if they say that prayer and that person responds in faith, God can touch that individual. Now, that's a unique case. That's not always going to happen, but if God can use a donkey, he can use anyone. Amen. And that's why you have, especially in the charismatic arena, listen to what I'm about to say. Classic Pentecostals, as the Assemblies of God are, believe that the physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is tongues, which I believe with all of my heart. Charismatics, on the other hand, believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but not all of them believe the evidence is tongues. So some say you can be so full of the Holy Spirit, but have never spoken in tongues before. But they believe the gifts of the Spirit are appropriate and operate today. And so, be that as it may, God responds to that person's faith as well. Amen? No. The person that speaks in tongues will never know what they're saying. The only way that they will is this. Now we're going now into the gifts of the Spirit. Now hang in there with me. Everyone that is baptized in the Holy Spirit will speak with other tongues. But that prayer language that they have, they will never understand what they're saying unless God gives them understanding at that particular moment, which is unique. It's not the norm. However, the gifts of the Spirit that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are 9 spirituals, 9 gifts of the Spirit. In that listing of the gifts, there is a list of diverse kinds of tongues. That means many different tongues. Not everyone has that gift. Do you hear what I'm saying? The one that is baptized in the Holy Spirit has a prayer language, has a unique language that they can pray in, that they can speak in. Do you all hear what I'm saying? However, not everyone that is baptized in the Holy Spirit that has a prayer language has the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. The person that has the gift of diverse kinds of tongues is moved upon by the Lord in a service. And it is in the church congregation. When you have the congregation of believers together in church like now, in a prayer meeting, that person that operates in the gift of diverse kinds of tongues is moved upon by the Spirit of God, and they almost can't contain themselves. They feel the moving of the Holy Spirit, and they know that they know, I've got to say this. And they begin to speak in that language, and it's a tongue. Do you hear that? And sometimes that language is unique and different every time. The president of our school, Catherine Logan, like I said, she would speak in diverse kinds of tongues. Sometimes they sounded Chinese. Sometimes they sounded Native American. Sometimes they sounded African. It's amazing. But when she would operate in that gift, there had to be an interpreter in the house to interpret it, or else it's of no value, Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The gifts need to be interpreted, but the one that speaks in tongues, the one that's baptized in the Holy Spirit and prays in tongues, they will never understand that language. The 1 Corinthians 14 says, their mind is left unfruitful. You will never know what you're saying in the Spirit. However, in the Spirit, you know that you're praying the heart of God. When you pray in tongues, you are always praying the perfect mind of God, the will of God. You are not missing the mark at all. That's why you should pray in tongues as much as you can, those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. But if you have the gift of tongues, God will move in the congregation, and that operates in the church body to edify the church, to build up the church. But the tongue itself is of no value without an interpretation. That's why the one that speaks in tongues can pray, Lord, give me the interpretation. Sometimes the one that has the gift of tongues can also interpret tongues. That's what we have here at our church. Sometimes the tongues will operate, and then there comes the interpretation from the same speaker. That doesn't always happen, but it does happen sometimes. We had a young man, his name was Jared, there at the school. He was always, he would function that way. When the Spirit would move, he would give that prayer, that gift of tongues would operate, and then he would interpret the tongue. Amen? It's valuable that way. Because if there's just tongues and no interpretation, it's just sound. Amen? It does nothing for you, it does nothing for me. But it needs to be interpreted. That's why the gift of prophecy is very similar. When a prophetic utterance is given in the church, it's always unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's never to destroy, it's never to hurt, it's to build up, to make stronger. So a prophetic word in the church is very similar to tongues and interpretation. Amen? But that word of prophecy, even as Paul would bring out in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I would rather speak 10 words with words that you will understand than 1,000 words in tongues that you won't understand. It's of no value to you. And so the one that is baptized in the Holy Spirit and prays in tongues, they will normally never understand it. However, in the Spirit, they will know that they're hitting the target. Amen? Amen? Well, Pastor James, what did you go into all that for? Well, I had to explain the gift of tongues as well in contrast to the prayer language you receive when you're baptized. It's educational, hopefully. The Holy Spirit helps believers. Look at John chapter 14, verse 26. Going back to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14, verse 26. He is there to help you. Can you say amen to that? First, he will reveal and remind. He reveals and reminds. He's always revealing things and reminding things. But look at verse 26 of chapter 14, the Gospel of John. It says, but the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the helper, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you. I want you to say teach you. He will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. When you're reading the Bible in your devotional time, be it in the morning, evening, whenever it is that you spend time in the Word, more often than not, you're not memorizing what you're reading. How many of you do that? Memorization is good if you do that, but not all the time. Sometimes you're just reading the Bible for the fact of reading the Bible, amen, which is a good thing. But then you're going through the day, and then the Holy Spirit reminds you of what you read, amen? Sometimes you're there in the midst of a situation, and you're talking to someone, and bam, there comes those scriptures, right? You don't know where it's coming from. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? But he's going to remind you of many different things. He says, I'm going to teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. It's amazing when you consider what this statement is. We wouldn't have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, without the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that the whole time that they were with Jesus, they weren't taking notes of all the different things that they did. Do you think? I mean, unless someone was actually that on top of things, More than likely, these unlearned, ignorant fishermen weren't taking notes. Amen. Most of us aren't going to be doing that. We should. That's why we keep journals. Amen. Which your pastor needs to start doing, which he doesn't, but he needs to start. Amen. But the Holy Ghost came upon them and God began to move on their hearts, inspiring them to write. Mark is believed to have been the first one to write with the help of Peter, and he wrote Mark. Amen. Then Matthew wrote his account specifically to the Jews. Come on, Jews, you got to understand who Jesus is, the King. Amen. Mark brought out the servant. Then Luke, as they were preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. We've got to give it to the Gentiles too. With the help of Paul, right? That's why Luke includes things that the others didn't, because he went and spent time with Mary too. Amen. Then after the fact, a little bit later, John said, I got to write mine too to prove that he is the Christ. That's why John includes a lot of breathing and eating and touching. Because the Gnostics were invading the church at the time, saying Jesus was just an appearance. He was a ghost, a spirit. And so John was confronting some issues too. Sometimes we don't understand that when we're reading it just because we read it. Amen? Anyways, he reminded them of everything. There will be times when you need reminding about who you are as a Christian. Amen. He will remind you of scriptures to say. He'll remind you of things and how you should live. He'll remind you that that's who you are. That Jesus dwells within you. That you are a light. Praise the Lord. But he will also teach us things. That's why we need good Sunday school classes. Because the Holy Spirit will confirm it to your heart. What that preacher is saying, what that teacher is saying is of God. Amen. He will lead you to education. It'd be wonderful if some of our young people went to Christ Missionary. What's the name of the Bible school now, Brother Henry?
CMC.
CMC? Mission College. Christ Mission College. LABI. Formerly LABI, Texas. Amen. To get good teaching. To be founded in the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit, whether you go to Bible school or not, will teach you. He will open up the Word to you. He will make things known to you. He will speak to you as an individual. Amen? And he wants to do that because that's who he is. He is the Spirit of truth. He will lead. He will guide you into all truth. Lord, have mercy. That clock is just, some say this is a Pentecostal clock, I guess. Right? It just moves too fast. Man, we're only halfway through. He also guides and intercedes. Let's look at this really quick. John 16, verse 12 through 14. I'm going to read the verses, and then we'll continue on. It says this, I have yet many things to tell you, Jesus said. This is right before he would end up going to the cross. I have yet many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will tell you things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive from me and will declare it to you. Praise the Lord. Think about it. There were still things that Jesus wanted to tell them about, to teach them about, but he couldn't do it then. But he said, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you, teach you. Amen? There are some things he wants to tell you. You as an individual. Unique to you. And that's why we should be praying, oh God, speak to me. Give me ears that hear what you are saying. In Romans chapter 8, anybody there want to read Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27? 8, 26 and 27. He also will intercede through us. That means pray through us. It's Romans 8, verses 26 through 27.
In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through the wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God.
The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. There are some times that we will experience situations in our life that are too deep for words. That's why you should pray in tongues. Amen? The Bible says the Spirit intercedes for us. But what about those that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit within you will sometimes come upon you in such, if the word is appropriate, agony, where there's groaning. There's not even words. There's not even tongues. But with groanings, which words aren't even able to express. And the Bible says that God, who knows the mind of the Spirit, intercedes according to the saints. I remember hearing a Baptist minister, I think it was Chuck Swindoll. Anybody heard Chuck Swindoll on the radio? Excellent Bible teacher. I'd recommend his ministry and his teaching to any one of you. Even though he's not Pentecostal, he's a good, sound Bible teacher. Amen? But I remember him talking about the Holy Spirit and talking about this groaning and expressing how that there are times when there's just a groan. There's no words. It's just a groan. I mean, sometimes the circumstances, the situation is so heavy, so rough that you don't even know what to say, but the groaning occurs. Amen? Sometimes you're burdened over a lost loved one. Sometimes you're burdened over a situation at work. Sometimes you're just burdened over what you are presently going through. But you go into intercession, you go into prayer, and sometimes there will be groanings that can't even be uttered. And God, knowing the mind of the Spirit, intercedes on our behalf. Amen? But let me express this really quick. Those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to exercise your prayer language as much as you possibly can. Paul did that. When he was dealing with the gifts of the Spirit in the Corinthian church, he said, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than you all. I speak in tongues more than all of you. But he wasn't wasting his time speaking in tongues around them. Because it doesn't benefit anyone just because someone speaks in tongues unless it's interpreted. Amen? But that means that when Paul was in prayer and he was alone with God, he would speak with other tongues. He would pray in tongues. Amen? And there's great value in that. We don't know what we should pray for, but you pray in the Spirit. Amen? Last but not least, the Holy Spirit also convinces the world through us. He convinces the world through you and me through witness. Look at John chapter 15 really quick. We're going to close with these last verses. We're not going to go too deep into these. But John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27 says this, "But when the Counselor comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of the truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." The Holy Spirit is going to bear witness to him. Amen. The Holy Spirit is going to draw attention to Jesus Christ and to him alone. He doesn't share the glory. He's not going to draw attention to Pastor James. Amen. He's going to draw attention to Jesus. Yeah. And whatever attention a minister gets, I don't care who they are, where God has used them, that minister needs to steer clear of any or ever touching that glory and draw the attention to the one that deserves it all. Amen. Amen. But he says, "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. We will be witnesses of Jesus Christ." Amen. We should be witnesses of Jesus. We will share the reality of Jesus with the world around us. Then last but not least, he will convince the world through witness as well as through conviction, verses 7 through 11. And with these we will close. It says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient or very important, very beneficial for you that I go away," he says. "For if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Praise the Lord. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I am going to my Father and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world stands condemned." He would bring forth conviction to the world. The world needs convicting, doesn't it? That's why we need more of the Holy Spirit in our world today. I'm going to be honest with you. Amen? We have so much wickedness permeating our society because the church... I point the finger at the church. Because the church sometimes is more worldly than the world. The church needs to get back to seeking the face of God in all of His holiness, all of His purity, and having the Holy Spirit so full and so operational, not only in the church, but in you and me as the church, that the world is convicted of their sin. Amen. That's why we have so many movements and so much wickedness and so much immorality in the world today. It's really a sad situation. I mean, what is going on in the world today is really sad. But I'm thankful that there still is the moving of the Holy Spirit to convict people. Amen? I believe God is going to pour out His Spirit in these latter days in such a way that people are going to come into the church by the droves. Amen? I believe there is a great move of God just on the horizon, but we must be ready to pay the price. I don't necessarily say it's going to come in the day when everything is going all well. It might come during very difficult times. But I believe the church is to get back to being full of the Holy Spirit again. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for all that we have studied today, especially about the person of the Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that You would give, Lord God, a greater hunger within our hearts for more of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, draw us, weak as we are, into Your presence. Reveal Jesus to us. Convict us when we are wrong, when we waste our time. Oh God, help us to use our time wisely, to occupy the time. I pray, Lord, that You would fill us with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that not only would we be a bright and shining light in the darkness, but that, Lord, whenever we go or wherever we go, we would be the aroma of Christ. That not only would there be light shining through us, Lord, but there would be the scent of Jesus smelled around us. I pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Help us to seek Your face as Your church and draw us more intimately to You. We ask that You would bless the remainder of our time together. And we ask that most of all, that Lord Jesus, You would be exalted. Be glorified, we pray, and bless the remainder of our service, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Go ahead and go.